This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR Resource of the Week.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio here on the Army Wife Network. I am your host, Tara Crooks, and it's time for the Resource of the Week. This is the segment of our show where every week we feature informative resources for our military families. This week we have with us Gus Campana. He is the author of The Last Ferry. He served over 20 years in the Air Force, and now he's written a book titled The Last Ferry. He tells us that it was not only to entertain readers with a wonderful traditional fairy tale, but also to depict some important life lessons. And he's here to talk to us about that tonight. Gus, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Good to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so great to hear your voice. I've gotten so many emails. It's nice to hear a voice on the other end of the line. Aw. Okay, well, Gus, let's start off. Tell us what The Last Ferry is about.
Basically, The Last Ferry is about the struggle of just life struggle, hope, love, success. I mean, you can boil it down to a lot of those key words. It starts out as a trip my wife Jean and I take to Bavaria. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with Garmisch, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And we were looking for the famous Ludwig Castle, Neuschwanstein. And we got detoured to another castle where we actually hear and experience this fairy tale. The core story is about a human king who falls in love with a fairy queen and invites all of her fairies to come and live in his land. Now, it's important to note that in order for fairies to live outside their safe haven, they need the love and caring of humans. That's a really key point in the story. And this is all established in a covenant that the king and queen sign. And eventually the king and queen marry. They have a daughter named Arabella. And the princess grows up, and that's all a major part of the story, too. And through a set of events, she becomes the last fairy. What happens is a wicked witch turns the minds of the humans against the fairies, and the fairies begin turning to dust, and that includes Arabella's mother. And Arabella, because she's half fairy, half human, believes in herself and loves herself and trusts herself. And that gives her the energy and the strength and the wherewithal to actually face the Wicked Witch. And I'm not going to tell you the outcome, but it is a fairy tale, so kind of a happily ever after type of thing. There's a lot more to the story. It's an almost 200-page book, so there's quite a bit to it. And there are things like it begins with a giant's attack, and it tells how the king and queen met originally, which is very, very interesting. There's a a powerful wizard who defends the fairies. There's a big war led by a toady of the witch. And, of course, there are stories about the fairies and what they bring to the humans in form of creativity, joy, just plain fun. And another thing I added to the story, which I really had a lot of fun doing, was telling where some of the traditions that we know today about fairies originated, like the Tooth Fairy and the elves at the North Pole and things like how the leaves change color in autumn, that kind of thing. So it was a variety of things, but that's it in a nutshell.
And what
I hope that was a nutshell, by the way.
No, that was... No, well, we want to know enough about it to know that we want to read it, so I thought that was
interesting.
What inspired you to write this story? I mean, you come from... I read your bio. 20 years in the Air Force. I mean, to me, that doesn't, like, spark a ton of creativity, so I'm wondering what inspired you.
Well, if I say mushrooms, you might get the wrong impression, but that's really...
Depends on what kind of mushrooms they were. Were they organically grown?
Actually, they were. But let me tell you the whole story first, so I don't give the wrong impression here. Let me go back to when I was a kid in Yonkers, New York, a long, long time ago. There was a cartoon panel in the local newspaper, and it was called the Teeny Weenies, and it was about these little people who lived in the underbrush in these little teeny houses, and often they would frolic under these large mushrooms. So when I was a kid, I'd go around looking under mushrooms, see if I could find them, see? And I always thought of them as fairies. So years later, okay, bring it forward X number of years, and here we are in Orlando, Florida, and we were having some wet weather, albeit the Sunshine State, but it was wet weather. And I went out one morning to get the newspaper, and there were these great big mushrooms in the lawn. And my immediate first thought was, I wonder where the fairies are. And that kind of got the ball rolling. And following that, I put some concepts together about the story. And by the way, even while I was in the Air Force, I used to do these shows. Well, you know how it is. You know, you get people together and you do these shows and stuff like that. And I did a lot of that. And I've always tried to have creativity as part of my role, whether it was the military or after the military. At any rate, not long after I got these concepts put together, we really did, Gene and I really did take a trip to Bavaria, and we went to Neuschwanstein Castle and so forth. But then I got the idea of, gee, what if we were detoured to another castle, and that's where we learned the story. So it took a number of years, but The Last Fairy became a book.
That's a very interesting story. I really like the
mushrooms. All started with mushrooms.
Sounds like something that I would do. So, hey, I still like to go find, you find those mushrooms, my little girls like to kick them over because they're just so squishy. So.
I swear to you, when I was a kid, I used to take them apart looking for the little teeny weenies.
Looking for people.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, I always thought they were fairies, so it was fun.
Little tiny fairies. But you know what? It's funny how something like that can impact you for the rest of your life, you know?
Exactly.
Well, you know that writing a book is a huge undertaking, and I know that you keep a really busy schedule. I know this past year, Star and I have been busy working on something, and I won't let the cat out of the bag, but it's a lot of work to write a book, I can say that. Most people barely have enough hours in the day to just get done what they have to get done, you know? So if someone says to you, I'd like to do more with my life, but I don't have time, what kind of advice do you have for those people like me?
I don't want to sound like snippy or anything, but I always remind people that there are 24 hours in the day, and it's the same 24 hours that Leonardo da Vinci and then Thomas Edison, Marie Curie, and Beatrix Potter, they all had those same 24 hours, and they were all busy too, and yet look what they accomplished. So
true.
It's a matter of how you use the time. And again, part of my biography is currently I'm a facilitator. Oddly enough, for environmental-related things, I'm a facilitator for teams that clean up military bases. And as part of that, I also train my teams. And I'm not the technical end. I'm just I picture myself as a little bit of oil that keeps the gears working. And in that role, I come up with things like goal setting and improving individuals. And this kind of goes along with the idea of 24 hours a day. The whole point of it is if you do really good planning, then you can do it. It's amazing what you can accomplish if you kind of organize your life.
Well, you know, my friend Leah here on Army Wife Network, she calls that preemptive striking, and she makes fun of me for it. But I am about a three-week ahead planner. So.
That's the way to be. Actually, Gene and I sit down once a year, at least, and we do what we call strategic planning. But let me kind of bring this into a more recent perspective. There was a movie out called The Bucket List, and it's, I don't know if anybody saw it, but...
What was it called again?
The Bucket List.
The Bucket List, okay.
Yeah, it was Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, I think, and the two guys were told by their doctors they were terminal. So they set out to do all the things they've ever wanted to do before they die. And their list of doing things or things to do is called their bucket list. And my point is, I got thinking about it. It's like, wait a minute, we're all terminal. You know, why are we waiting for somebody to tell us? Make a list, whether you call it a bucket list or life goals or whatever. Lay it out and lay out what it takes to accomplish whatever your goals are. And then go do it. Because like most things in life, you know, for example, The Last Fairy would have never gotten told unless there was a lot of visioning, which I'm really a big proponent of, goal setting, and then hard work. You know, a lot of people will say, gee, I'd love to do this. And they have these huge dreams, but they're not ready to work for it. And I think that's one of the important things is to work for it. I can talk more about goals if you want, but
that's true, though. You know, I mean, you never think about it, but in a way, we are we don't need somebody to tell us. We all are. We might be on a short time schedule. You just never know.
It could be short.
Be on a long time schedule.
Yeah, exactly. But you should. You should. Again, I don't want to preach. I don't want to have my own stump here.
Yeah.
But you know, I just think no matter how old you are, and age should never be a limiting factor in this. I look at age as the number of times, you know, you rode the earth around the sun. And it really shouldn't be the limiting factor. Age is just a physical thing. Now, old is a state of mind. And I don't think you need to get old. You can't fight aging, but you can sure fight getting old.
So from now on, instead of saying I'm so old, I need to say I'm so aged.
Well, I kind of think about it as like instead of selling birthdays, we ought to celebrate orbits.
That's Only I know that mine are getting up there in numbers, so I don't know about that.
Well,
all right. Well, you know what? The last fairy is a fairy tale. It's usually when you think of fairy tales, you think about kids.
Right.
But you wrote this book, and it's definitely for all age groups. Why do you think, if you were a listener out there listening right now and you're an adult, why do you think that adults would benefit from this book?
Let me explain, first of all, that The Last Fairy can be read by kids. It's about fourth, fifth grade level, or you can read it to your kids and they enjoy it. I do have plans to have a picture book for the really little kids.
Uh-huh.
But it has a number of lessons in it that are pretty subtle, but not that subtle. They're more obvious for adults. So they can learn from these and teach them to the children. For example, there are things like the powerful wizard that I mentioned has limits to his power. Or we learn that defending what is right is a good thing, and sometimes it's necessary to take extraordinary steps to protect our family and those around us. And I think that's very appropriate for the military. And we also learn in the story that sometimes when the things are darkest and most threatening to us, there are wonderful surprises in life. Like when Ludin, who's the king, discovers Queen Celeste and all of the fairies, he's actually going into this foreboding forest of darkness where he's fearing for his life. The big surprise is, hey, that's where the fairies live. So you never know what's around that next corner, and you just, you know, you kind of press on and make the best of it.
It sounds like a very interesting book. I've got it here in front of me. I haven't had a chance to read it, sit down and read it yet, but I can't wait. I'm actually thinking maybe it's something I could read with my daughter.
It's, I would say so, and it's very, you might have to explain a word or two here and there,
yeah.
But it's pretty simple story. It's got very traditional characters in it that kids will recognize and I think, you know, kind of relate to.
And I think that's good, you know, we can all relate to that fairy tale type characters. So do you have plans for a sequel after this one?
Yes, I do.
And what kind of lessons are in it? You have a lesson in this one. I'm wondering what you're going to teach in the next one.
Well, there are a number of lessons in this one. And going back to talking about the wizard for a second, Lord Zandalore is his name, and he's the protector of all fairies. Well, what he does is watch over the fairies and gather stories about them in the outside world. The world outside of their protective forest. And that means they've scattered all over the earth now and that he kind of gathers stories about them. So the next book will be entitled The Tales of Zandalore. And it'll contain a number of life lessons like I talked about here. I'm waiting for a minute here to really talk about the key lesson of The Last Fairy, but let me just mention that the... Because there'll be a number of different situations, there'll be a number of different little stories in this coming book, kids and grown-ups alike will again be exposed to these kind of life lessons. And again, subtly. They don't, you know, it doesn't come and hit you over the head, but you think about it, you go, well, yeah, it's pretty good. Makes sense to me kind of thing, you know.
Most definitely. So what'd you say the bit you said you're holding off to go back and talk about?
Well, I realized I skipped the main message of The Last Fairy. So, you know, backtracking a little bit,
That's okay. I was going to ask you, of all the messages that you give in The Last Fairy, what's the final one that you would want the listeners to remember? So how about that?
Okay.
All right.
Terrific.
Great.
Gives me an opportunity to go back and talk about Arabella. And again, the princess is half fairy, half human. So it was very, very key that she believe in herself. And when you think about it, if you believe in yourself, or if you believe in anything, it involves self-talk. And I usually tell my groups this kind of thing, and I'll repeat it for you here. The most important words you'll ever hear are what you tell yourself about yourself. And then there's a kind of corollary or follow-up to that. The second most important words you'll ever hear are what you tell yourself about the people, things, actions, and events around you. Because everything involves, it's kind of philosophical in a, excuse me, in a way, but everything involves how you filter things, either about yourself or about everything around you.
Well, and let's say that one more time, because I'm going to quote that. The most important words you ever hear are the ones you tell yourself.
About yourself. The second most important words that you'll ever hear are what you tell yourself about the people, things, actions, and events around you. And you've seen it. You've been there. I've been there where you go, oh, I could never do that. That's self-talk. Or that guy is maybe he doesn't look right to me. Or, boy, that guy is really impressive. So it's what you tell yourself about other people, about other events, etc. Very, very important.
Well, Gus, that is a very true statement, and I really love that that's what we ended on tonight, because I think that's very important. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down, and I'm going to quote you. So before we go, the girls in the chat room have asked, and I want to make sure we get this on the air, is there a website that the listeners can go to, and can they buy a copy of your book there?
Absolutely, to both. The website is called thelastfairy.com, all one word, thelastfairy.com. You can put www, but you really don't need it. And there you'll find an excerpt of the story. By the way, there's a picture of those mushrooms that I found that morning. There's also a new video I made of the tour of the castle. And you can buy the book there. I'll sign it. There are a couple of extra goodies that come with it. And there's free shipping. It really makes a great gift. Had a lot of positive feedback from it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out and sharing with us tonight and your wonderful quote, because that was like the highlight of my evening. I love that. And I'm going to make sure. As a matter of fact, I just put it on Facebook.
Great.
Like in the last 2 seconds. It's already up there.
I love it. So. Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Welcome very much.